Well, greetings, everyone. Open now your Bibles at this time to Proverbs chapter 3. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along and take notes. Proverbs chapter 3. Our exposition will be in verses 11 through 12, but let's begin in the very first verse so we can get the context. Follow along as I read Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loved, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning acknowledging that You are God Almighty. You are the infinite wise One. You are who we seek wisdom from. You are the One who gave us our existence, therefore our Creator. We did not create ourselves, and You are not like us. You are infinitely holy, infinitely righteous, just in all that You do. We are also grateful that You're a God of mercy, grace, love, and compassion, but never at the expense of any of Your other character traits and attributes. And Father, now as we come to this portion of Your Word, where we're addressing Your disciplining of Your children, where You chasten us and correct us and discipline us, so to speak, spiritually speaking, spank us. And we have a responsibility when Your hand is heavy upon us, and that we be submissive and teachable and ever learning, and more than anything, willing to listen and make the changes necessary to get back on the right path. The path of righteousness, the path of wisdom. So, Father, we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for His glory and our spiritual instruction and edification. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are now coming to the section where we are talking about the chastening hand of God. I have simply entitled it, The Value of Correction. And there are very few of us look forward to being corrected. We don't like being told we're wrong. We don't like it when we're told that we're wrong from our bosses, from our peers, from our neighbors, from our friends. We didn't like it getting disciplined from our parents and back in the old days from our teachers and principals. But nevertheless, the purpose of discipline is twofold. Sometimes discipline is to punish, therefore it's all over. It's punitive. It's to punish you for doing wrong. The other one is corrective. It is to punish you and keep punishing you until you correct your error and get back on the right path and see doing what got you in trouble to begin with. So there is the correlate or the difference between what we have here when God speaks of the chastening hand of God, when he addressing his children, he is addressing it from a corrective perspective. The punishment for sin has been dealt with in our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. For every sin we have ever committed, doesn't negate our responsibility to confess our sins when we have done them. But at the same time, a lot of times we don't listen, we don't confess, we don't come clean, and we stay on the wrong path for a while, and then God's hand becomes heavy, and he chastens us. So here lies where we're at. So in the context of this, you have to put it in the context. That's why I started with verse 1 to read to verse 12, because it all flowed from the fact that if you follow wisdom's way, you follow God's way, and you fear the Lord, life is good. You're going to get a length of days. You're going to get a whole life, a life of meaningness and purpose and a sense of wholeness. Here lies the word peace, the word shalom. It speaks to the fact, not simply ceasing of conflict and no fighting, but living a life that has a sense of fullness and meaning. And so when you go through this, especially when you come to the end, where it says in verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your possession and with the first fruit of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And then immediately it turned into, son, whatever you do, never despise the chastening of God. Here he's turning from the aspect of blessing. He also knows we're sinners. We make mistakes. We fail to live up to what God had called us and commanded us to live. We fail to walk wisdom's path. We fail to walk the way of righteousness and holiness and godliness in all areas of life. When that happens and God is displeased, he will indeed chasten us. So what I did is I looked up the word chastening. The word chastening means to correct. A correction in the form of physical discipline, often translated as the word instruction. Here lies where sometimes we miss this element. When we think of the word instruction, we think of verbally being taught some steps or some things. But this word, specifically this word, is a word that means you learn by being disciplined. This word was used 50 times in the Old Testament, 30 times in the book of Proverbs alone. So he's saying over and over, be careful of not despising the Lord, despising the Lord's chastening, despising the Lord's wisdom, despising the Lord's counsel. Whatever you do, do not mistake this as simply as a verbal instruction. It is learning by ministering pain as the means of learning. How do I know that? Here are some of the uses of it throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction, the word correction is the same word here, will drive it far from him. Proverbs 13, 24. He who spared his rod hates his son, but he who loved him disciplined him promptly. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold correction, the word discipline there, same word, from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Proverbs 15, verse 10, a harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. So we have here clearly, it is a ministering pain to create correction and fixing and repairing and changing one demeanor, attitude, course of walk, action, whatever the case may be. This correction is the result of disobedience, and the correction was to bring about change. Here lies the difference between punishment, you're punished, it's over, versus you're being chastened and disciplined, and we're going to stay at it. Every time you do it, you're going to get disciplined. Every time you act wrongly and go on the wrong path and do the wrong thing, you're going to be dealt with. Here lies the importance of consistency among parents. clearly it's the result of disobedience, and it's the produced change. That's what you need to understand. Even when we opened this book up, the first six verses talked about the whole purpose of the book of Proverbs. And down the line, it said these words in verse 2 and 3. To know wisdom and instruction. That word instruction is the same word here. Chastening. The translator chose to add the word instruction, but the Hebrew word mean know wisdom and to know chastening. The purpose of Proverbs is to give it wisdom. Goes on to say, to perceive words of understanding, Proverbs 1, verse 3, to receive instruction of wisdom, or the word instruction there is the correction, or the rebuke, or the chastening of wisdom, judgment and equity. I took and looked up every one of those 30 verses that that use that word. And I came up with a list of things that were insightful and helpful. First of all, it's the list of the proper response, the right response to when we are chastened by the Lord. Now, when we use the idea of chastened by the Lord uses means. Sometimes he'll use it through our parents. Sometimes he'll use it through somebody else ministering the discipline. Sometimes it'll be the government. Sometimes the court of law or the police. When you go over and cross the line and do wrong, the Lord has ordained those things for our good. It clearly says in Romans 13 that he gave the governing authorities to punish evil and to reward good. Now, a lot of times government don't do that, but that's what they're supposed to do. But the proper response when you are being chastened for your disobedience, when you have done wrong and God dealing with you, it said this, Proverbs 4, verse 13, take firm hold of instruction. In other words, embrace the chastening. Take a firm hold on it. Do not let it go. What is he saying? He's saying, okay, yeah, I want to hang on to it so you can spank me until I'm done and gone. No, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that you will have a firm hold of the lesson from the chastening. And the lesson that you learn from that chastening, never let it go. How often have we chastened and been chastened only to go back to the same thing again and again? The purpose of correction is to have a permanent change. That's what it's saying here. Take firm hold of instruction or chastening and do not let it go. Keep her, for she is your life. Go embrace chastening and the lessons that we can learn from it for our good and change. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproof of instruction or chastening are a way of life. In other words, because we make bad choices, bad decisions, and take the bad course of action, we will time again and again be chastened, and being chastened is a way of life. Because we're sinners. We're going to sin. We're not perfect. But God, praise God, he doesn't stop coming after us to keep us on the right path, to lead us in the path in the likeness of his Son. Proverbs 19, verse 20, listen to the counsel and receive instruction or chastening that you may be wise in your latter days. You're only going to grow wisdom and become wise as you grow older when you let correction and chastening teach you. That's why you need to listen to it and receive it. Proverbs 23, verse 12, apply your heart to discipline. Apply your heart to it. Learn from it. And your ear to the words of knowledge. Learning, correction, and change do not happen if we dislike it. If we don't embrace it, if we simply say, no, I don't want to be disciplined. I'll do everything I can not to be chastened. That's not the purpose of inflicting pain to create change. If we dislike it and refuse to listen and learn from it, that's our loss. Another thing I found from this list was the wrong response to this kind of chastening. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The word instruction is the same word chastening here. Proverbs 5 verse 12. How I hated instruction and my heart despised correction. That spoke of a young man who had went down a path of sin, had now reaped what they have sown and gotten the fruit of their own way, and they are getting the serious repercussions of it, and he had come to the conclusion and the realization, oh my goodness, I knew better, I was taught better. People came alongside and told me, but I hated their instruction. I despised their correction. Think of the word correction. Do you want to correct what is happening? Proverbs 8:33, hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. The idea of the word hear instruction, the idea of hearing, listening. Are you paying attention? Are you being teachable through this? Or are you just bristling up and resisting and gritting and trying to get through it? You're not listening if you're going through God chastening that way. Proverbs 10, verse 17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Proverbs 13, 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 15, 5, fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. A fool despises his chastening of his father. Father trying to help them and correct them, fix a flaw in their character, and they despise that. That is what God calls a fool. God calls that person a fool. Proverbs 19:27. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. The word instruction is the word cease listening to correction or chastening. When you quit listening and learning the lessons that discipline and chastening is both to teach you, here lies why I call the title of the method the value of correction. All we think of a lot of times is the pain element. Usually next followed is the fact that our pride, our ego gets in the way. I want to do what I want to do and nobody can tell me different. That rebelling against what God is doing. If you are called to go down the path of wisdom and the right way and the holy way, then you want to stay in that course. And God loves his people enough to bring it back when we err. Now that was just the word chastening. The word correction is another different word. If you look at that verse, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That's the one word. The other one is, or nor detest his correction. The word correction is more on the verbal side, where you're being verbally rebuked or reproved, to correct by being reproved. It was used 28 times in the Old Testament. 16 of them are here in the book of Proverbs. So this book speaks a lot about these two words interacting, discipline, chastening, whether it's physical or verbal. We're not talking about verbal abuse. We're talking about verbal rebuke. We're not talking about cutting people down. We're talking about, you did this wrong, son, daughter. You need to fix this in your life. You need to quit saying this, doing this, or not doing what you should be doing. So the idea of correction is you verbally been told and taught and instructed and rebuked for it. That's why the word reproof is the idea to bring you back. Proverbs 1:23. We already went through this one. I'm going to give you three verses out of Proverbs 1. And you remember time and time again, wisdom cried out. Wisdom held out its hand. Wisdom kept offering And it said the verse 23, turn up my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I will make my word known to you. Here, speaking right from the get-go in chapter 1, it said, wisdom will rebuke you. The truth will rebuke you. And the instruction here is to turn to it, not away from it. Turn into it. Embrace it. Yes, I need to be reproved and rebuked. Verse 25, because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Here now, where we saw in the end of chapter 1, where they're now going to get the fruit of their own way. And it all was because they said, no, don't want it, don't care for it, despise it, reject it, ignore it, not for me. Chapter 1, verse 30, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. It is a dangerous thing, person, beloved, that when you are rebuked, that you don't even take a nanosecond to realize if there is value in what they just rebuked you for. If what they rebuke you for is true and right, then you need to be corrected. And it doesn't matter who you are and how old you are. It doesn't matter if a child rebuked the parent or the parent rebuked the child. A lot of times, parents have the tendency to think that I am always right and what the child has to say is always wrong. That is not the case, especially when they get older. They have a tendency to bring those sermons right back at us with precision. But the point is, if they are speaking the truth and the shoe fits, humble yourself under the chastening hand of God and let Him change you and transform you. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. Here's the person who will listen to rebuke. They don't look for it, they listen to it so they can be changed by it. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. You let a child raise themselves, foolishness is bound in that heart, they will become fools. From the perspective of, it doesn't matter how much money they make, there's a lot of multi-million and billionaires that are fools. They don't have no fear of God. They have they live as if there's no accountability and reckoning with God when their life is over in this life. But here it said the rod and rebuke. Here you got both of them together. The rod, physical pain versus the verbal instruction or rebuke. And we need to have both of them. Here, what's interesting, that I found both chastening and correction, the two different Hebrew words constantly used together, because and what was really unique was every time the physical pain came first, then the instruction. It seems like that's the pattern. I'll give you an example. Proverbs 5 or 12. How I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. You heard that already. Proverbs 10:17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Both of those words used together in the same verb. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loved instruction and loved knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Proverbs 15:32, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. You listen to it, you will get understanding and wisdom. But if you despise it, you are in essence hating your own soul, your own self. So look at the verse again with me. Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. So I already brought out the two elements of chastening and correction. Learning from pain of correction and the sting of rebuke when you are told you're doing it wrong or on the wrong court or need to make a change here. There are two responses that we see here. Do not despise it and do not detest it. That's our duty. The word despise means to reject it, to refuse it, to dismiss it, not to take correction seriously, to push away discipline, walking away from it, refusing to learn anything from it. You just get stiffer and harder, and you stiffen your neck. The Bible makes it clear we are not to rebel against God. And let's just, for the record, no rebel wins against God. Job 5, verse 17 says that, listen carefully to these words. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. The word happy there is, oh, blessed. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The whole idea here is that happy is this man is blessed, like the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. We have here, these are the people who God corrects. There is blessedness, there is value when we are corrected and chastened and rebuked by God and we make the change and respond to it. Do not despise it. Don't refuse it. Don't dismiss it. Don't treat it as lightly. The word detest means the idea of that you become weary of it. Sometimes the rebuke comes again and again and consistently, constantly, always. And that's because we're consistently, constantly, always doing the wrong thing. Saying the wrong thing. We're staying on the right pattern, therefore it required to constantly be dealt with. God said when that is happening, don't get to the point where you detest it or become weary or loathe it or abhor it, resent it, being rebuked. You better thank God that somebody had enough love for you to keep telling you the truth when you are wrong. You don't want people to give in to you and let you have your way, because then God deals with you big time. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, point number 2. As we work our way through, the beauty of this passage, Hebrews 12 is in the outline. Point number 2. There is no better place in all of Scripture that expounds those two verses in Proverbs 3 than Hebrews 12. It really begins to expound and gives us the more stuff to work with. And so we're going to go quickly through that so we can get all that we can from it and get it the context. In Hebrews chapter 12, because of the length and time, we'll just do it as we come to the verses. So the whole context of the idea is the chastening being expounded here. In verse 4, it said, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. So the whole idea is we're confronted with the idea that we need to fight against sin within our own life and around us, or even sin towards us. We need to fight it to the end, even to the point of death. That's the idea of bloodshed. We are to resist and strive against sin to the end. There's never a time when we can just take a time out and vacation from dealing with sin in our lives and around us. Why we know that? Because at the very first verse of this chapter, it said this in Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses. Now notice, what that is, it's talking about, we just got done with Hebrews 11. That is known as the Hall of Faith. You have the great heroes of the Hall of Faith from the Old Testament. Man, it's just one godly person after another. So when you get to chapter 12, and this cloud of witnesses, these witnesses, If they teach us anything, it said this in verse 1, then we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Because of this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Every one of them in the hall of faith obeyed the Lord that the God commanded them to do, and they had to resist and fight against sin in or around in their life and around them to persevere. So he said, if there's anything you should learn from this, number one, lay aside anything that would hinder you in your race and any sin that would hinder you in your race. And you need to resist it to the point of bloodshed. I mean, fight hard and strive against it. And when we don't fight against sin in our lives and resist it, we're going to be chastened. That's how it leads into this passage. We will be chastened. When we are chastened and corrected, we must respond in the way that God that honors God and for the good of our souls. Here lies verse 5 and 6. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speak to you as sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loved, he chastened and scourged every son whom he received. Here is that very quote from our passage in Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12. This is the quote. He now begins to expound on it, but please understand, he is now saying, have you forgotten this exhortation clear back in Proverbs 3? Have you forgotten that God will deal with us if we don't fight against sin? And this comes from God. That's why it's called the chastening of the Lord. Being rebuked by him who he loved, he chastens and scourges everyone he receives. These are directly being dealt with by God himself. Here in this passage, God is the teacher himself. And we, as his child, are to be teachable. We are to be corrected by him and make the adjustment and change. We must be teachable and learn to understand, to put into practice the lesson being taught by God. In this passage, we see God chastened twice, rebuked once, scourged once. And in verse 7, it talked about when God dealt with you. He even uses the word here that wasn't used in the Proverbs that was added here, the word scourge. It's equivalent to an instrument like a belt or a paddle that administers discipline for learning. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself bring shame to his mother. 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Look at verse 6 and 7 as we continue, as he begin to expound. If you endure chastening, God deals with you. Add with son. For what son there whom the father does not chasten? And if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not son. The passage again and again here is all about chastening. Not only do we see chastening seven times, we see the word rebuke, scourge, and corrected. 10 times in these short verses, it's all about God dealing with them to bring about change, correction. But he always did it also in the context of the word child and son 6 times. The proper response in this passage alone is that don't despise it. Do not become discouraged from it. You need to persevere. You need to have respect for it. You must be in subjection to it. And you must be trained by the correction and instruction. As he carried on in verse 9, furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more be readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Why is it that we will pay respect for our human fathers and not the respect to our Heavenly Father when He deals with us? We need to be people who are willing to submit to the correction, to the rebuke. Some of the greatest lessons in all of our Christian journey and walk in our Christian life is being missed because we will not learn and listen to correction. When suffering and trials and tribulation come, fruit of our way, reaping what we have sown, come back to haunt us, come back to roost, and we do not listen. That is tragic. That's why we need to have the spirit that the psalmist had in Psalm 119, verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. When I'm afflicted, I'm drawn to your word, and I want answers, and I want to live by your word. So often we miss what God had for us here and teaching us here. He talked about the fact that if we endure and persevere, if we allow discipline and chastening and rebuke to take place and do its work. Even James talked about it. Turn with me to James chapter 1. It's always in this context that we see in James chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produced patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we need to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, because God has a purpose in the work. Trials have a purpose. Sometimes we have a tendency to just see the pain only instead of being trained and taught and in allowing that pain to teach us what we ought to be and do. In other words, when we endure, we need to stay under the chastening until the lesson is learned and the behavior is corrected or changed. That's what we need to understand when we talk about the idea of chastening and being rebuked and not despising or detesting it. But I haven't forgotten verse 12 of our Proverbs verse. It simply says this, they hear in Hebrews, for whom the Lord loved, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. We must, in the midst of correction, know that there is a purpose and it's done with the loving hand of God. Too often we immediately equate pain can't be love. It is if it's taking you to a better place. We must understand it comes from the loving hand of our Heavenly Father. His wisdom is infinitely perfect. He knows what we need. We do not do well changing on our own. We need motivation. And sometimes that motivation is pain and rebuke. That's what the Scripture teaches consistently. He is correcting us when we go astray. It's proof of His love and delight in His own, as His own. But remember, the fact that He is dealing with us as our Heavenly Father, He's not dealing with us as a judge punishing us, but trying to correct us. Very important to understand. That's what our verse says in verse 12. That's what it says in this passage here. He was even saying earlier that if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom the father doesn't chasten? In other words, what father doesn't chasten his son whom he delights and loves, so he becomes the best he can be on the right path? Then in verse 8, and if you are without that chastening, then you're not a son. You're an illegitimate child. God doesn't deal with his children that way. He deals with that as his own. That's why it said in verse 9 about human father, we pay them respect. How much more should we be in subjecting to our Father in heaven and give them respect? Give him respect. So when trials and tribulation, chastening and correction come, we must stop and ask ourselves, what is our Father teaching us? What is he teaching me? Lord, what are you trying to get across? Don't need to worry about God dealing with others. Let him deal with you. You got your own to deal with. You don't have to answer for them. You have to answer for your own. The spirit that we need to have is, what area do I need correction in? What's going on? When you get to point number 3, we get now to the real driving force and purpose of all discipline or chastening by God. Verses 10 and 11 in Hebrews. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, that the human father. But he, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. God's goal has always been into the likeness of his holiness. In the likeness of living up to his moral law, which is the reflection of his moral character. Too often we look at the law of God and just think it's burdensome and bounding when they should be a delight to it, because they're a reflection of the God that is our own. The God that we answer to, the God who saved us, the God who we call our Heavenly Father in our prayer. Verse 11. Now, no chastening seemed to be joyful for the present. If there's ever a moment where you say, hello, nobody likes getting disciplined. It may not be joyful for the moment, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. They're not simply going to, you know, if you do A, spank, B, going to respond always. No, B need to have the right attitude and be willing to subject and learn and grow from it for that to take place. What I love about this, in verse 10, it talked about for a few days, our fathers chastened us, human fathers chastened us for a time. For a while, pretty soon that child leaves home and starts their own family, or that father passed away. So their discipline will only happen in a period of time that they are able to administer it. But not so with our God, not so with our Heavenly Father. He will be with us till the day we die. He will constantly be working with it, dealing with it, and chastening it, and rebuking it when we get off course all the days of our lives. But always from the angle of a son and daughter, a child of God. Though human fathers are not perfect or infallible, but they try to give the best advice at the moment. That's why it said there, for they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. We don't have to worry about maybe getting the best. We will get the best from our Heavenly Father, because he makes no mistakes. His wisdom is infallible. His counsel is impeccable. The question is, are we listening? Are we learning? And are we being conformed to it? And when we're not, because we're his children, he comes and chastens us. And when he does, do we submit? Are we teachable? Willing to let God work in us? Our Heavenly Father's counsel and advice are always perfect for our good and profit. The goal and purpose for all of his instructions, that we may be partakers of his holiness. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Even said in Ephesians 4, 24, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Beloved, sometimes chastening is hard because we tend to resist, be stubborn, and fail to learn and change. There is a perfect verse in Proverbs that addresses that. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be rebuked, harden your neck and harden your heart and refuse to learn and teach and be, submit to God's teaching. But like the text says, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, but nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The pain is only temporary and but for a moment, beloved, but the wonderful lesson that we learn from it lasts a lifetime. That's what you want. You don't want to have to learn again and again and again and become that Proverbs 29:1 person. Often rebuked, often reproved. Soften, let God have his way. The question is, are we being trained by the chastening hand of God, by the chastening of our Heavenly Father, so he can work that purpose of the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life, that we would be partakers of his holiness? Isaiah 32:17 said that the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. What a blessed, tranquil state that is. That only happens when we let God have his way. What we need to see and understand, the fact that he is our Heavenly Father and he treats us as the children, that God loves us enough to make us holy. He loves us enough to correct us and discipline us and bring suffering into our lives to help us change. I thank God our Heavenly Father doesn't leave us to ourselves. There is value in being corrected and rebuked. Be teachable, beloved. Let God have his way. He is only looking out for our best interest, for his glory, and our good. So let's honor and glorify him. Let's remember even when he, all the way in the book of Revelation, when he was addressing one of the churches in Revelation 3:19, it said that, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. There's those two words, rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Let God have his way in your life. Let correction have its work, its perfect work in your life for his glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the word this morning. You have exhorted us. Every one of us have experienced your chastening hand. May not even known it. May have not responded too well with it. But Lord, we have learned through your word this morning how we are to respond and how we ought to live and how when chastening and trials and tribulations come, that we don't want to bristle and resist and detest and despise your work in us. We thank you for your love in reaching out to help correct us and to help us to change. May we do that. If there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Christ, their greatest need is Jesus Christ, because without him and there is no forgiveness of sin. And with no forgiveness of sin, they will never see and meet you as their Father. They'll only meet you as their eternal judge. And so, Lord, may they see their need of forgiveness. May they repent and draw themselves to Christ for their only hope of salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.